Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
That besetting sin, that one that we fell and tripped over more than anything else, we never leave that, because either we will continue to fall and trip over it, or we'll allow the Holy Spirit to deliver us from that, and it'll become our sphere of ministry.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And in the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Welcome, Truth Infusion listeners. We thank you for being with us. And it's always a huge privilege that you, from wherever you are in your life, what's going on in your life right now, would allow Truth Infusion Ministries to have just a few moments of your day. We pray that God blesses you for that, and it is already a blessing to us that you would consider to listen to us. I want to welcome again for the fourth week in a row, Mr. Chuck Mansell. He is a Truth Infusion minister. He is also my brother-in-law.
Amen.
It's a good story in itself. We'll say that for another day, right? How that all came about. But Chuck's been in the studio with us several times, but specifically for 3 weeks now. We've been going through a bit of a teaching series that we've entitled The Struggling Christian, and looked at several different reasons why struggles come into the life of the Christian. My encouragement is, if you have not heard any of this, I really feel like it will reach out to your life.
Amen.
I really feel like it. There's just too many biblical reasons, scriptural reasons, real life reasons. Everybody struggles. Everybody has times in their life when they say, why is this happening like it is? And we even ask the Lord, what is going on? Right. Well, the whole point of this teaching series was to give some scriptural, biblical, spiritual explanation for why the struggles come. And so go back to truthinfusion.com. Look at the radio page. It's easy to find on the website, and you will find all the previous radio programs there, and you can stream them. They're free. Listen to them 100 times. And if you have someone in your life that you know is going through something right now, make sure you send them a link, text them the link, email them the link, get them on there, let them hear it. That's why we put them on the websites, and that's what this is for. So Chuck, here, but I want to throw something at you really quickly that I would like for you to do. Every once in a while, I stop and kind of give some information about the ministry and what God is doing with us, to us, for us, through us.
Right.
One of the big things that God has been doing in the last several months now, but really is picking up steam in the last little bit, is that He's opened up a jail/prison ministry that Truth Infusion has stepped into, and Truth Infusion listener, Chuck is really our pastor for the jail ministry, and there's a real reason why
there is
that he is. But Chuck, I want you to take a few minutes to just tell everybody kind of what God's doing with that ministry, what it's about, and what your vision and heart for that is, and we'll just use that to kind of get into what we're talking about today.
Amen. Well, of course, you know that God has brought me out of a lifestyle of self-infliction, of incarceration, and so forth. And David, not only do we do the jail ministry, but we do the faith rehabilitation out there at the street.
Right.
So God had shown me a long time ago, while I was, in fact, incarcerated, that I would go into jail and prison ministry. Now, I didn't know the details to all that. I just knew that that's what He had showed me. I just knew that's what He wanted for me and for my life. And that's what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to go out and he wanted me to preach and teach the truth where deliverance mainly is concerned. And he wanted me to do it within the jail. Now, I have opportunities to do that in other areas, in churches and such. But Truth Infusion Ministry, jail ministry, is where God has opened up. I go in there twice a week, and the doors, the opportunity is going to be opened up pretty soon for us to go in three times a week. So we're excited about that. But back in 2010, of course, like you know, God, while I was incarcerated, the Lord had shown me very clear that he wanted me to go into jail ministry. And he did that through a scripture in 1 Timothy is the first scripture that God revealed to me that this is what he wanted me to do. But after, of course, after I got home through getting with you guys and being a part, actually becoming a part of Truth Infusion, nothing happens by coincidence. Amen. We know that. And the pastor, the chaplain of the local jail, come up to our church. You remember that, David?
Yeah.
And he asked about, was anyone interested?
Yeah, he didn't know you.
That's right.
He didn't necessarily know Truth Infusion.
That's
he
right.
was just, God had just sent him to
that's right.
church.
And of course, you know how that got me going. I got excited about that because before this, we had been talking about me going into the jail. How was that going to happen?
Yeah.
I'd been on my face praying and calling out to the Lord, seeking him for this. And then all of a sudden, this chaplain.
Well, explain to those that are listening why, in a very real world sense, you should not have been a person allowed to go back into a jail at this time to be a chaplain.
Right. Okay. Well, one of the main reasons, and this is what the chaplain came to the understanding, this is what he started telling me, and without going and all that, but by all rights, I shouldn't be in there because by their laws, I don't know if it's just the jail laws or if it's the laws of the state. I'm not really sure how that works out, but God does things because God's God,
yeah,
and he does it because he can. But, you know, I'm still... to this day, I'm still on what they call paper. I'm still on parole. So by all rights, I should not be going in the jail because I'm still on parole. You're supposed to be off of parole so long before you can start going into the jails. And that's one of the things that the chaplain had said to me. He said, Chuck, he said, I've never had anybody come in here who was still on paper. He said, I'm not even sure if that's going to be able to be allowed.
Yeah.
And I told him just... I said, well, let me tell you, chaplain. I said, I know what God has told me, and whether it's your jail or your prison or someone else's, I know that I'll be going into a jail and a prison to minister the word of God because God has shown that to me, and I'm standing on faith that that's going to happen. And sure enough, it wasn't long after that.
Yeah.
We won't go into how that came about, but it wasn't long after that that God opened up that door, and sure enough, to this day, that's where I'm at. But this is what I know. God allows circumstances and situations in our life, David, for that very reason.
Amen.
To get us out of the situations that we're in so that God can build us up. Because this is what I've always told you, and I've told, and this is part of my ministry, that we cannot be the men and women of God that God intends us to be without us going through circumstances and situations. Just like in the Word of God, 1 Timothy, I don't know if you want me to get into this yet.
Please.
But just like in 1 Timothy where Paul says, this is who I once was.
Yeah.
And this is who I am today. As a matter of fact, let's turn there real quick. I don't want to take up too much time trying to get through the Word of God or thumb through.
No, but this is kind of a life verse passage for you.
Yes.
So let's make sure we read it out because I've seen you preach on this and it really comes alive through what God has done in your life, and that's for the very reason that you love it.
Right.
So yeah, let's read it.
Well, this is what Paul says, and I'm gonna start in verse 12. He says, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that He has considered me faithful and appointed me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I'd acted in ignorance and unbelief." And he goes on to say this, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with His faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now, this is my favorite part. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Paul says this, "of whom I am the worst." You know, there's been times in my life I'd like to challenge Paul to that.
Yeah.
but you don't know me. But that's what Paul says, which gives a lot of people hope that they are
absolutely
so far beyond the reach of God. But that I love that scripture because it gives folks hope. He says, "of whom I am the worst." He said, "but for this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to others who don't believe. So Paul's saying this basically. He says, I was once Saul, but God pulled me out of that. And I, who was once Saul, he turned into Paul. So others who seen or who Saul was could see that Saul had been transformed to Paul, and they too would come to their salvation. And I tell guys this all the time. There's a lot of people out there, guys, that know who you once were, but when they see the delivering power of the cross through the through God's deliverance in your life, they too will come to believe in Christ, because they will look back and they will say, you know what? Only God can do that. Yeah. And that's the same way in Paul's life, that, that people would look back and they said, you know, we were talking about it a while ago, David. People, you know, throughout the Word of God, they would say, you know, they were talking about Paul, and they said, don't y'all know who that is? That's Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
You are crazy. He is that's the Christian killer. Why would you possibly go over there? But that shows such and demonstrates such the power of the bloodshed on the cross is Paul's life. You know, Paul couldn't have been Paul without being Saul of Tarsus first.
Absolutely.
That God had to allow Saul to be Saul in the areas of Saul's life that he was. Up to the very point, every era, every year, every hour, every minute of Paul's life had to have happened. Saul's life had to have happened in the exact circumstances that happened in order for him to be the Paul that he is today. You know, I used to think, you know, wouldn't it have been cool if Paul would have been converted when he was like younger.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I tried to ponder that. You know, no matter how much more of the Bible would have been written, I thought how cool that was. And then God revealed to me, none of it would have been.
No, not a bit.
None of it would have been. Because Paul had to have went through the exact things that he went through in his life in order to be the Paul that he is today. And nothing could have been different. Not one thing. He's a perfect God, and his timing is perfect. Same circumstances and situations in my life, in everybody listening's life. God does not make mistakes. You have to go through the circumstances and situations that you're going through in your life in order for God to use you in the ways that God wants to use you.
Yeah.
I couldn't be who I am today, David, going into the prisons, into the jails, and ministering the Word of God in the ways that I'm ministering if I did not have my past, the experiences in that lifestyle. You know, I go out and I reach out to these guys and I can meet them on their level. But had not I been through the lifestyle and circumstances of sin and rebellion that I once lived in,
sure,
I could not reach out to them. I could not relate to them on their level. So when I go out there and I tell these guys that, listen, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through because this is where God has brought me. It gives them such hope and encouragement because they see that if God can do it for one person, he can do it for me.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised, David, how many guys just run to the altar just for prayer and just, you know, they want to give their life over to the Lord because they actually, for maybe for the first time in their life, they see hope.
They see.
And they see themselves in me.
Absolutely.
And they run. They say, you know what? I don't know how many guys have told me that, David. I see myself in you, Chuck. And it gives them such hope and encouragement to what God can do. And there's another scripture, but I want you to go ahead and if you have anything that you want to add to that, I want you to go ahead and add a few things.
Yeah.
Because there's another scripture that perfectly exemplifies exactly what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians.
Okay, well, let me add this to it because this is one of the things that I was thinking about. Just a couple of things that you said. I want to make one quick point. The unbelieving world, they can't see the things of God.
Right.
The unbelieving world can't. And the Bible lets us understand why that's true, because it takes spirit to discern spirit.
Right.
It is the Holy Spirit in a Christian that allows us to have the eyes of faith to see the things of God and to understand the things of God. The unbelieving world can't see God, but Chuck, the unbelieving world can see you.
Right.
And the unbelieving world can see me. Who claim Christ. Now, you and I have the gift of the Holy Spirit to see the things of God, but the friends that we have in this world that don't, the closest they're going to get to seeing God in this world until they give their life to Christ is when they see God lived out in a Christian that they're standing beside at work, at home, maybe in your family, or when somebody like Chuck comes into a prison and there's 60, 70, 80 guys in the room.
Right.
Now, even if they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, they've never submitted their life to Christ, they can see Christ through what you're doing. And so what God does, and one of the things that we're bringing out through this show today, is that he takes you where you are, man of God, woman of God, going through what you're going through right now. If you are living if you are choosing to live in the grace of the Holy Spirit to get you through that moment, the unbelieving world is looking at your life.
Right.
Whether it's what you're testifying you used to be and now are, or if they're seeing you go through, say, cancer.
Right.
But they're seeing you go through it in a way that they've never seen somebody go through that. It's not you doing it that way. It's Christ living in you. And they are seeing a real-to-life example of what it looks like when Jesus operates through the life of a person. So, what we're saying to you, struggling Christian, maybe one of the primary reasons God has you where you are right now is so others can watch a Christian go through some stuff and see what it looks like when Jesus empowers you to walk through life in victory, even through circumstances.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, it's actually the circumstances and situations that God gets us through that allows us, like you said, struggling Christian, allows others to see. That's basically what this whole show right here is about. It's us as children of God living as examples to a lost and dying world, to those who have no hope, to those who are struggling and they seek out help from other places. And then when they see the man or woman of God struggle, who their foundation is, and when they have an opportunity to see God deliver them from that, you know what? It gives them hope. And one day in their struggle, they may remember what you were going to, what you was reaching out to, what you was clinging to in your struggles. And guess what? They may too, at that breaking point in their life, say, you know what? Hey, I remember what David, the prayer, I remember what he held on to. God, if you're real, if you're what David, if that is true, Lord, I'm asking you to do the same for me.
It's a setup job.
It is.
God's
setting them up. It's a wonderful
setup
job.
You talk about this from time to time when you're in the jail, that one of the nights that Chuck is in the jail, he's ministering to county inmates. They're the ones that are there through issues that are on a county level. And sometimes you say that you'll go in there and you'll see somebody brand new. In other words, they hadn't been there any other services, right, or maybe they're brand new that week. It's first weekend. And it'll be somebody that you knew from years ago.
Right.
Now, they
don't
know Chuck, 2016 Chuck.
Right.
They don't know what God's done for you in the last several years. Last time they saw or heard from you, you were living a different kind of lifestyle, operating a different way. And then the preacher walks into the room, and they look up, and it's you. And
they're like, wow,
what is going on?
Right.
Explain kind of what happens there. Go ahead.
And you know, actually, to be honest, it's funny you even brought that up, because just last week, during a county service, I was actually filling out the paperwork for the guys to sign, and I had a guy tap on me, and I looked up, and it was an old buddy of mine that I used to run the streets with, and he was like, "Man, what are you doing?" I was like, "Well, praise God, praise God." Hey, but you know what I love about that? I love to run in, and as bad as it sounds, I don't want to see any of them guys back into jails and prisons. But you know what? If they're gonna be in there, I love for an opportunity for them to be able to see me in there, because what we were just talking about, it gives them such hope and encouragement. Because the truth is this, David. Them guys don't want to be there.
Absolutely.
They're in a bondage. And 90% of them in there, if they care to admit it, is in a bondage of addiction. And so was I.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes Christ and Christ alone. You know, I don't know how, and this one particular guy that we're talking about, I've read so many things on him talking about how he went to an AA meeting. He was always in the AA meetings, but yet I look up and there he is.
Yeah.
Just the prime example is that AA meetings can't save you, brother.
Come on.
And the truth behind this is the only thing that can deliver you from that bondage that all them guys are stuck in is the power of the cross. And so I have an opportunity to be able to share with them the only thing, the only delivering power that brought me out of that lifestyle. The only reasons why I'm standing before them, guys, today is the fact that I am a child of God, and it's through the bloodshed on the cross that broke that bondage of sin, the same bondage that they're living in at this very point in time that I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
Broke that bondage. And when they hear that, and they see me, and they see that, no, this isn't the same guy. He looks like the same guy, but this isn't the same guy. Just like they told, Paul. He looks like Paul, but this ain't Saul. He looks like Saul, but this ain't Saul. But that's the exact same thing. They see, but you know how much encouragement it gives them? That's that scripture. prime example of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3.
Look, let's look at that.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, you know, apart, people say, well, you got a bunch of favorite scriptures, don't you?
You do say that a lot, Chuck.
I know. But one of my favorite scriptures, this is one of my favorite scriptures because this scripture right here is such an example to a lot of what I have an opportunity to share. And I want to read that. It starts in verse 3. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And this is what it says. It says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, mm-hmm. who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves received from God." Now, this is what I love about that. The God of all comforts will comfort us through our trials and tribulations, so the comfort that we receive, we can go and comfort others. This is what it's saying. That God will get us through circumstances and situations in our life. He will bring us out of the lifestyle of sin and rebellion, so the comfort that we receive through the power of the Holy Spirit that God had delivered us from, we can go and share with others. So that's a prime example of my life. I can now go into the jails and prisons, and I can say, "Brother, I know where you're at." And they can look at me, and I can tell them a little bit about myself, or if they knew me, they knew where I came from. And they could say, "Wow," and they can relate to that scripture, and that's what the scripture's saying, that God delivers us out of that circumstances and situations, that lifestyle of sin and rebellion, so that in the delivering power that he delivers us, we can go and tell others, "You know what? I know what you're going through, and let me tell you about the only thing that can deliver you from this, and that's Christ." But you know what? That's why God delivers, let's just say, addicts. Mm-hmm. God delivers addicts. Because if God did not deliver the addict and the addict didn't go tell other addicts about the delivering power of the cross, how would other addicts know that God delivers addicts? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is what I give example all the time. You know, I can go to someone who's struggling with addiction and I can tell them about the delivering power of the cross, and they can really grab a hold of that truth and they believe it. But if I share this same scripture or testimony with, let's say, a prostitute, just giving examples, she'll hear it. And she'll hear the truth behind it. But it would be a lot different me sharing than have another prostitute come and tell her about God delivering her in her lifestyle of prostitution through the power of the cross. See, she can relate to that. And that's what the scripture's talking about.
And it should bring comfort. If you're listening, there's a lot of people out there that are saved. They love the Lord. They're involved in their church, perhaps. But they don't really think they have a ministry.
Right.
What's my ministry? I'm not a speaker. I'm not a singer. I'm not a teacher. What do I do? Here's what you do. Chuck, you said it a second ago. Where you came from in your past, you've got a ministry there.
That's right.
And God will take you, like we said a couple weeks ago, from the misery where sin caused you great misery and make that your ministry.
Absolutely.
I said it like this in the past. It's the same concept. We never leave our begetting sin. In other words, besetting sin. That besetting sin that one that we fell and tripped over more than anything else.
Right.
We never leave that, because either we will continue to fall and trip over it, or we'll allow the Holy Spirit to deliver us from that, and it'll become our sphere of ministry.
Right.
We'll go back to what we knew was our biggest thorn in our life and want to see more than anything else people delivered from that thing.
Right.
And so, truth seeker, wherever you came from in your past, you can recognize people struggling in that from across the room.
Right.
You don't have to have a full conversation with somebody to see that they came out of some areas that God's brought you from. And your heart's already going out to them when you recognize them in that. God has prepared a mission field
That's
for you,
right.
Because he can take the struggle that you've dealt with and the comfort that he's given you can turn around and comfort those. But I also have used this verse in another way. I've stood at funerals and used this as the backdrop for scripture, for speaking in a funeral, preaching a funeral. Because here's the thing. Nobody can reach out to someone who's lost a spouse like someone who's lost a spouse.
Right, absolutely.
And I've looked out to those family members, tears in their eyes, and say, "Look, I know you're hurting right now, but there's going to come a day where this area of pain and struggle, God is going to utilize you to reach out to someone who's hurting in this area."
Absolutely.
And you're going to be able to say, "God brought me through this. And the same God that did it for me, he can do it for you. Let me pray with you. Let me love on you."
Right.
That can become your area of ministry.
That,
God will use struggle to make ministries.
That's right. That is absolutely, that's one of my favorite sayings when I go to the guys at the at the jail and at the street. I always tell them, your ministry is where your misery was.
Yeah.
But not necessarily your misery, but like you just said, any area of your life. And listen, like you said, David, those who are listening now, God, you can right now, you can think to yourself of an area of your life that you have struggled in, but God had brought you out of that. God, that is your ministry.
Yeah.
And because God is, you can bet on it, God is going to allow someone to cross your path who is struggling and going through the same things that you once went through, and you'll have an opportunity at that point in time. God will say, go. At that point in time, you'll have an opportunity to open your mouth. Well, you think, how do I ever minister to people? How do I do that? That's how you do it. God will open up that door, and you speak at that point in time. And I promise you, God's going to do what only He can do. He's going to minister through you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to speak mightily through you and going to give that person comfort.
Yeah. Because the beginning of this verse in 2 Corinthians, it's God. He's the God of all comforts. He's the God that comforts us in our tribulation. Now, He may use Chuck.
Right.
But when you go and open your mouth, it is God that becomes the minister.
That's right.
He's the one, He's delivered the comfort to you. He's going to deliver
it
to them.
That's right.
Truth seeker, just be available.
That's it.
Just be willing. Just be available. Okay, here we are, Chuck. We got about 2 minutes left, and we're going to wrap up this series here on the struggling Christian. We've talked about several different reasons and ways and given examples of why one of God's favorite tools in His toolbox for His sons and daughters is to utilize struggle and difficulty to hone us, to shape us, to form us and to fit us,
to strengthen
us,
right,
to make us dependent,
that's right,
and to turn us ultimately into ministers that He can use to reach out to others that are there. What a fantastic thing when we come to realize that hard times are not about beating me down and punishing me.
That's right.
Hard times are about making me more like Christ.
That's right. Amen. Ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about that we are drawn closer into the likeness of our Savior. That's what it's about.
I've got a little lady that I see on about a weekly basis. She's 101 years old.
Wow.
And I'll walk in and I say, how you doing? And she'll say, oh, I'm doing fairly well. And I'll say, well, what's going on? And she'll say, hard times, David, hard times. And then she'll smile, because here's why she's smiling. I can't leave that house without her telling me, it's the Lord that's brought me through everything.
Wow. Right.
God, the Lord is good, David. He's brought me through so many things. He's going to keep on bringing. She's 101 years old. Anybody knows what they're talking about?
Struggle.
She knows. Right. So, hey, hard times to Miss Holly is a joke. It's a punchline, because she knows that God has got her back. He's been doing it for 101 years, and He's going to do it for eternity to come. Truth seekers, He's that kind of God for her, and He'll be that kind of God for you every day. Chuck, I've enjoyed this time.
Absolutely. It's been my blessing. I always love coming to and sharing with you.
Amen. Well, truth seekers, tell somebody about Jesus, and above all things, trust the Lord and keep seeking the truth. We'll see you next week.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.